Sometimes we look back on something and see that it was a blessing in disguise. In other words, it looked to be a really bad deal at the time, but turned out to be a good thing. We have two kids who are looking for their home. There we go. All right. So a blessing in disguise. Something that at the time I thought was a bad deal, but it turned out to be a good thing. So I lost my job. I didn't make the basketball team. I broke up with my girlfriend. At first, it seems like the end of the world, right? I remember when I broke up with my girlfriend, I thought the world was going to end, and it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. But I think we'd all acknowledge that it's possible for the reverse to happen as well. We've seen stories of someone who won the lottery and it ruined their life, for example. Or more simply, the person who sings so beautifully and so they get asked to sing at everything. Or the person who owns a pickup truck, so they're supposed to help everyone move, right? Or the teenager who's cursed with good looks, which I've been told is a parent's worst nightmare when it comes to dating. Right? Pray for an ugly child, is what they say, right? So are these things a blessing or are they a curse? Well, today we could ask that very question about the money that we have, about our possessions that we own. Is it a blessing or is it a curse? Well, I think that our readings will enlighten us today. I will say even encourage us today to see that the answer to that question is not based on what we have, but what we do with what we have. Let me say that again. The answer to that question is not based on what we have, but what we do with what we have. So at first glance of our readings, it would appear as though our wealth can't be anything but a curse. The Old Testament already hinted at it, saying that gold or silver is as nothing compared to what really matters, prudence, wisdom. And of course, Jesus doesn't mince words in the gospel. First, telling the young man to sell all his possessions and give it to the poor. And then telling his disciples how hard it is for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Well, there's nothing I can do to massage that message. He said what he said. It's no wonder then that the disciples looked exceedingly astonished, it says. It's no wonder that they asked the question, who then can be saved? And I guess we should be asking that question. Because what he's telling us to do is hard. And as far as I know, none of us have done it. Except maybe Sister Rosemary and Sister Gregoria, Sister Julieta and Sister Yolanda, who have taken a vow of poverty. And even they will probably tell you that it's not as easy as that. But I think the beginning is to ask God, what do you want of me now? What do you want of me now? So I'm not going to have basketball practice after school. What do you want me to do, God? I don't have a girlfriend now, so what do you want of me now, God? You know, I got a promotion at work and I got a raise. So God, what do you want of me now? That's why the church has wisely encouraged us when considering our stewardship of our money to think of our gift in terms of a percentage of what I received. And we find that in the early pages of the Old Testament, where they gave God a tithe based on the harvest. So if the harvest was really good, then 10% of the harvest was really good. And if the harvest was really small, then 10% of the harvest was really small. If our giving to the parish is based on a percentage of what I have, rather than a fixed amount, whether right now for you that is 3% or 7% or 12%, then that will more accurately reflect the ups and the downs in your life. And to those who are blessed with more wealth, well, that very task of keeping a healthy focus can be a greater challenge. You know, for a college student, the question of how much to give to the church is easier to answer. There's the story of the parents who went up to visit their son after his first semester at college, and mom saw a piece of paper on the table with the number 3.54 written on it. She said, "Son, 3.54, that's an amazing grade point average." He said, "Mom, 3.54, he said, "that's not my grade point average. That's my bank balance." Again, for someone who has little, a percentage is maybe little. And for someone who has more, a percentage is more. But I wouldn't want someone to feel like they're cursed because they have more, or to hang their head after hearing today's gospel. I think it returns us to what I said at the beginning. It's not based on what I have, but what I do with what I have. You know, let's look back at the gospel. So you know how I feel about reading the long version or the short version of the gospel? We have nothing to hide. Let's read the long version. And particularly when we look at the long version of the gospel today, it's so much worth reading because it points out that just as my gift is proportional to what I have, so is the reward proportional to what I give. And Jesus is not just talking about money, but about time and talents and family and faith. If I give more, and if I have more from which to give, then the reward will be 100 times my generosity. We can walk away from today's readings seeing our money as a curse or as a blessing, as a threat to my salvation, or the potential to reap a great reward.